Hallelujah. Yeah. Today, scripture reading is Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 18. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 18. The title is The Right of Heaven and the Voice of the Lord on the Damascus Road, the part 1. The subtitle is 3 Days of Darkness. 3 Days of Darkness. I like to read Acts chapter verse 9, 1 to 18. Now Saul, still the breathing threat and the murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for a letter from him to the synagogue at Damascus, so that if he found any belong to the way, both man and woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do." And the man who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And Saul got up from the ground, and thought his eyes were open. He could see nothing, and leading him by hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Behold, here am I, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from the Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hand on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he was authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon thy name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he arose and was baptized. This is the word of God. Today's passage introduces us to the famous conversion of Saul, the Apostle Paul. Before he became Paul, Saul was a Jewish, knew who the persecuted believers in Jesus, and thought that capturing, killing, and imprisoning them was the best way to serve God and his God-given missions. So, on this particular day, he was on his way to Damascus, a city in another country, with his sword in hand and a letter from the high priest ordering him to arrest all believers in Jesus, male and female. suddenly sounded around noon on light from heaven. In the Acts chapter 22, verse 6, that the light is described a great light. And another verse, Acts chapter 26, verse 13, is a light brighter than the sun, knocked him and his companions to the ground. The Lord held Saul captured as a prisoner of the light as he sought to capture the believers in Jesus and sent them to prison. Why did the Lord take a hold on him? To make Saul is a scoundrel who was unwittingly learning toward death into Paul, and to make him a minister of the Lord from the Lord's passionate love and his grace. And he says, Saul, there will be someone who will tell you what you are going to do. You see, the Acts chapter 9, verse 6, the name of the person the Lord had already prepared for the Saul was Ananias, which means God is gracious. You can see the Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Once he arrived in Damascus, and he had to do was to meet Ananias, whom the Lord had prepared for him. And those who were with him did not know what was going on, because they only heard the sound and saw no one, but they lifted him up and brought him to the house of Judas, who lived in a street called Straight in Damascus. And as you see, the Acts chapter 9, verse 9, he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. But Saul focused on prayer, and he no longer heard any new voice from the Lord, even from the one who had appeared to him on the road. 3 days of frustration and misery had gone by. So why didn't the Lord send Ananias to Saul immediately, even though he had prepared him to help Saul? Why did he leave him alone in that intense pain and loneliness for 3 days without seeing him drinking or eating? It was a period meant to tear apart Saul in order to make him a new creature in Christ. It was a time to break Saul down completely and recreate him anew. It was a time to shatter the eyes that could not see Jesus as the Christ and to give him new sight. It was a process of completely breaking his pride. In fact, Saul had a particular pride in his Judaism. There was no one of his age who wasn't more devoted to Judaism, and no one who was more zealous in upholding the traditions of his ancestor. You can see that the Galatians chapter 1, verse 14, very detailedly explained about his the zealous about to the Judaism. In worldly things, too, he had much more to boast about than others. According to the Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 6, I like to read, although I myself might have a confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised 8 days, and the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, so to the law of Pharisee, as to Jew, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. As a person from the Tarso, he was an academically accomplished individual who received rigorous education under Gamaliel, who was the pinnacle of the law of that time. You can see that the Acts chapter 22, verse 3, he confessed like that. I'm a Jew born in Taurus of Cilicias, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel strictly according to the laws of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. Now, the Tarsus was a large city of about 50,000 people at that time. The center of learning and culture in Asia Minor, with a university that surpassed Athens and Alexandria as the most famous university cities. To say that he was a student of Gamaliel is to say that he was the grandson of Hillel, the greatest rabbi who was revered by all the Jews at the time. You can see the Acts chapter 5, verse 34, and who is still in the literature today. It is a statement of his orthodoxy and profundity in the law. But these human qualities, when they fail to open his eyes to faith in Jesus Christ, would lead him to persecute Christianity and stand in a position of pride against God. In order for God to make Saul missionary, he had to remove this pride from him. The Lord left Saul alone for 3 days as he approached Damascus. For 3 days, he withdrew his hand of help from him, or for 3 days he was silent toward him. However, it was in his solitude that the soul began to ponder the meaning of the rite that that had suddenly enveloped him. Above all, it was significant that Jesus had appeared to him, despite his inability to believe in the Lord's resurrections. He had seen the Lord and had spoken with him. You can see the Acts chapter 9, verse 4 to 5. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, Jesus said, "I am the Jesus whom you are persecuting." The Lord commanded Saul, who was lying on the ground. And you can find out another scripture is Acts chapter 26, verse 16. "But arise and stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you." This was not simply a command to stand up, but to stand fully and confidently in all of God's will. Above all, to be witness for God, you must be able to endure all the hardships that you will come your way by faith. He began to reflect on whether his fervent adherence to the law and his zealous belief in God were truly in accordance with God's will. He was urged not to see Jesus merely as the leader of a sect, as he had heard from others, but to encounter Jesus directly, to hear his voice and to experience him so that he could truly understand who he was and stand rightly before God. He desired the soul not to confine the laws to the narrow confine of human thought, preventing him from seeing the true nature of God. Instead, he wanted the soul to cultivate a mature faith, one that would lead him to experiential solitude and the faith that advanced toward the perfection that God desires. And God was silent, and in the silence of the Lord, Saul began to think. He began to reflect on the path of faith that he had been on. He began to search for what was wrong. He wanted to hear God's true voice in the silence. So he prayed and cried out. You can see that Acts chapter 9, verse 11. Eventually, the eyes of his heart were opened and he saw himself outside of Christ. He saw himself for what he really was, a hypocritic, simple, fleshly man. He saw that the issue of sin, which he thought had been resolved, continues to attack him relentlessly, and he recognized his outer self being dragged along by that sin. This ultimately led him to cry out, "Wretched man that I am, and to lament, who will rescue me from this body of death?" You can see that Romans chapter 7, verse 24. In the end, he heard the still small voice of God in the silence and recognized the Lord he had seen in the light as Christ, the Savior, the Lord of the resurrections. I'd like to read Acts chapter 22, verse 14 to 15. Acts chapter 22, 14 to 15. "And he said, 'The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard.' He had been spiritually baptized through this silence, and these 3 days of silence from the Lord were blessed opportunity for the old man Saul to die and the new man Paul to rise." Hallelujah. Dear saint, do you think that God is silent to you at this time? I want you to realize and believe that during this period of silence, by no means has God forsaken you. By no means he is silent. Most assuredly, he is helping you. There are times when we are afraid because of our teaching, our children, our business, or our relationship. Remember the words of God today. Don't ask, "Why don't you help me right away?" Since God sent him to this earth, he allowed the soul to realize, even unknowingly, the sins he had committed. Sin that carried a stenchy worse than that of a decaying corpse. To thoroughly understand the reality of his flawed self and the nature of his sins, the Lord chose to remain silent for a while so that Saul could grasp that he could no longer live with these burdens amidst his anguish, sight, and pain. There was a man in the Old Testament who faced the same thing as Saul. It was Jonah. They commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah disobeyed God's word and boarded a ship going in the opposite direction to Tarshish. It wasn't long before his ship was caught in a storm, and Jonah was finally plucked by swallows and thrown into the sea to die. You can see the Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. But to Jonah's surprise, God had already prepared a great fish for him, Jehovah Yireh, right? In Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. The great fish immediately swallowed up Jonah as he was cast into the sea. Because of that fish, Jonah was saved from drowning in the stormy sea without a drop of water. He was saved from seemingly dying. But the question was, what happened next? Surely, if this was the fish of God, a fish God had in store for Jonah, it should have spit him out on the nearest piece of land without delay. But it didn't, and Jonah was trapped for 3 days and three nights in the stomach of that filthy big fish filled with all kind of stench and disgust. But those 3 days were also longer than 3 years for Jonah. Why did God leave him alone in that rotting, stinking, foul-smelling belly for 3 days, even though he had prepared a great fish to rescue Jonah? Because he loved Jonah passionately. It was in the abyss of despair for 3 days that Jonah saw himself for what he was, a clear realization of what he needs to cut off and where he needs to run. Amen. I like it. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 and 9. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord in his God from the stomach of the fish. And verse 9, but I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanks, sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have bought, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Amen. Jonah realized that God was the one who saved him. The chains made him spiritually strong enough to stand upright before God. Then God commanded the great fish in the Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. Then the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Thus the Jonah passed from hell to heaven and back again through 3 days in the belly of the fish, and through his realization and obedience to God's saving providence, he did the work of God witness for the salvation of the entire people of Nineveh. You can see the Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. So God's silence to Jonah over those 3 days was not silence. It was the greatest response Jonah had ever received from God in his entire life. God was helping him more surely than even before. Dear saints, when God has withdrawn his helping hand from our lives, have we ever grumbled and complained and turned away from the saving words of eternal blessing for a moment? How do we know that God is still silent toward us in order to make us true saints? Therefore, do not despair. God has not withdrawn his helping hand. His grace is still upon your head. He is helping you on another level. God's silence at this moment is God's greatest response. Please be grateful for it. God is shaping you now into spiritual adults, mature ones, into more mature Christians. May you use this this thing 3 days as a springboard and not to stand alone before God. Amen.